The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For God and Country, the new book by Ralph Reed, available wherever books are sold.
Portions of this edition of The Don Kroah Show were pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
It's time for The Don Kroah Show, right here from the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios. Now, The Don Kroah Show.
The Don Kroah Show is brought to you in part by Passport Auto Group Stores. As an essential business during COVID-19, Passport is ready to meet your car buying or servicing needs and do it with complete safety and security from one of their 9 convenient locations. Whether it's a video walkthrough of a vehicle you're interested in or purchasing a vehicle either online or in the comfort and safety of your own home, check out the superb services waiting for you at PassportAuto.com. That's PassportAuto.com. Hey, how you doing, folks? Hello there. Hello, hello, hello. You made it through another weekend. All right. And we have a full week ahead of us, and glad you're with us here on this edition of the show, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 each afternoon. We get to do this, talk about things going on. And, of course, stuff is going on, not only here in our own country, but around the world. More to the point of today's show, our nation continues to seek what I'll call appropriate and effective ways of responding to the tragic murder of George Floyd. We all know the story all too well. Minneapolis policeman now, I believe, facing second-degree murder charges and more. 3 other officers apparently stood by, did nothing to try to prevent the event. That's tragic as well. It remains to be seen what culpability legally they may face. And, of course, the country continues to try to find ways to deal with what I'll call legitimate expressions of deep grief, but also and angry protests over the tragic event. Events, I guess we should say now, because so much has happened, while at the same time trying to cope with the firestorm of violence and destruction that is so unself-serving, if you will, is so self-destructive to the whole efforts of those who want to express their empathy and their solidarity with the black community and with Mr. Floyd himself. As a matter of fact, his own family, as you may know, has spoken out very strongly against the violent protests that are done supposedly to honor their son and brother. So those are things we're going to continue to talk about, as we have. And we've tried to be judicious and thoughtful in who we bring to the microphones, because we know there are a lot of people who are worth hearing. Can't bring them all on, but we've been trying to bring some signal voices from this area and across the country. We started last week with Bishop Darlington Johnson, Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr., Alveda King, Dr. David Ireland, Bishop Derek Greer. Those are some of the ones we've had so far, and today we're going to continue in that vein, speaking in just a few minutes, for example, with Bob Woodson, founder and president of the Woodson Center, based here in Washington, and a longtime former civil rights activist. And we'll find out from Bob himself as to why the word former is now in front of his description, because he's still working on behalf of civil rights, certainly in the best sense of the word. Also, I've invited a friend, attorney Emmanuel Ogebi, who has a unique role. He is, of course, part of our fabric here in the United States. He and his family live here in Virginia. But he's deeply involved as special counsel with the Justice for Joss Project, U.S.-Nigeria law group. And we know a lot has been happening in Nigeria. Talk about abridgment and destruction of human rights. That country has been suffering that for a long time, especially, of course, targeted at Christians. So Emmanuel will give us an update on the latest from his own country, but also his own perspective as a perhaps someone coming from even another country and seeing what's happening in this beloved country of ours, which I know he and his family love as well. So he'll be talking with us later this hour. Next hour, Our longtime and very dear friend, Bishop Harry R. Jackson, will be with us as part of the hour. And last, but certainly not least, by any means, one of the great voices in evangelical Christianity for years, Tony Evans. Dr. Tony Evans will be with us to also help us understand how to address these critical days and issues in a constructive and in a God-honoring way. And I know that's at his heart and the heart of many of you as well. And, of course, we'll also talk next hour with Luann Sabatier from 21 Wilberforce, as there are some trends. I think seven of them are listed that are serious trends in terms of religious and human rights freedoms developing across the globe that ought to be of serious concern to us. And we're going to get to that as well. Now, having said all of that, I love the fact when we can take the theoretical and make it practical, or the abstract and make it specific. And that's where what you're doing with Save the Children is something that every single one of us can do. You may or may not choose to be at a protest, even a legitimate and peaceful one. You may or may not do that. That's your choice. That's our freedoms here in this country. You may find different ways to express, and I hope you are, certainly through prayer, the brokenness of our country right now. But then there are these very simple, everyday, practical ways, such as the campaign we are now conducting with Save the Children. And our goal is to raise $33,000 to provide literally hundreds upon hundreds of school children with meals that they ordinarily would get if COVID-19 had not interrupted the whole process, as you know. These are kids, some 30 million of them across the country, who depend on the school lunch program on a daily basis just for basic daily survival nutrition and nourishment. Now, that's during ordinary times. But as we've been telling you, due to COVID-19, we all know what's happened. Everything's shut down. Schools are shut down. Summer schools are not open. And as a result, these kids, they don't suddenly just not need the food any more than we would. They still need to be fed, and that's where this campaign comes in as part of this effort, a nationwide effort to make sure these children do not go hungry during this difficult time. So Save the Children and WAVA have teamed up to say, let's do something about that, and you've been responding. We want to thank you for what you've done so far. We've said a gift of any amount will help, $50, $100, $500, $1,000. We've given you an increment that you may think about or two, $100 feeding one child, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 10 days. A gift of $100 will do that to Save the Children. A $300 gift will do that for an entire month for a child. And we've said if there are those who could give a $1,000 gift, that will feed a child for the entire summer, all three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, you've been giving, and I thank you for that. And also, we still have some money remaining of our Passport Auto Group matching money, $8,000 given so generously by Passport. And I checked just before opening the show, and we have about $5,730 of that left to double your giving. So we'll be saying some thank yous a little later on. As a matter of fact, I guess I don't have that right here now, but I do want to say some thank yous to folks who've given, and we'll make sure we do that before the afternoon's over. But in the meantime, if you want to give something, you haven't done it yet. As we say, there's no magic figure. Whatever you can give, $50, $100, $200, $500, $1,000. We've had a number of different wonderful gifts in those categories. But the toll-free number to do whatever you'd like to do is 888-884-4836. Again, that's 888-884-4836. One more time, 888-884-4836. And many of you give online easily. You can do that at our website, wava.com. You'll see the Save the Children banner. Click on that, or just enter the keyword children. It'll take you right where you need to be. But thank you for doing that while we're doing other things together as well today. We'll be right back.
Like the fire in a stove, anger can be constructive when properly directed. But if we don't limit and control our anger, it can very easily become destructive in our lives. There was a time when my anger almost destroyed me. I was unfairly accused, and at first I pretended that I was fine. But the anger I claimed did not exist crept out in biting remarks toward the people closest to me. Eventually, I had to stop playing games with myself and admit I was angry. I decided that if I couldn't beat my anger, I would join it. I took my negative energy out and redirected it toward something positive. Romans 12 and 21 says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." Instead of spending my time getting bitter, I decided to invest it in getting better. For me, this meant going back to school. For you, it may mean going back to the gym. The point is, you can take your pain and turn it into gain.
We welcome you to visit us online at gracechurchva.org, where you can receive free downloads and view more about Dr. Greer and Grace Church. Again, that's gracechurchva.org.
Since this whole quarantine thing started, we've gotten the chance to chat with around 2,000 of you radio listeners. And here's what we've heard. You wouldn't believe how many puzzles we've done. Who would have thought family driveway tennis could be so much fun? And I'm pretty sure I've watched over 100 episodes of Seinfeld. The other thing we've seen is families across the country doing major work on their homes. Dream basements, backyard makeovers, swimming pools, or shelves, and more shelves for organization. The home is officially a bigger deal than ever. And the cool thing is, for many of us, home values have gone up the last few years, meaning you could have equity sitting in your home that you could cash out to put in, say, the greatest driveway tennis court of all time. If that's you, our Faith and Family Mortgage team has a direct lender advantage, and we'd love to help. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
UMC Mortgage Company, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. In refinance, total refinancing charges may be higher over life of loan.
Do you have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back? Take the 5-question gut check to see if it could be more than occasional constipation. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess is not a laxative. It works differently. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements.
Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor about whether Linzess is right for you. Go to Linzess.com to take the 5-question gut check. That's Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The following is a true story.
I had a lady that was in her mid-70s, and I'd sold her timeshare, and that was the lowest I'd ever felt in my life. I knew then that I had to do something to simply not to go to hell for selling timeshare.
Chuck McDowell founded Wesley Financial Group to help folks cancel their timeshares permanently.
Called her and everybody that I'd sold timeshare to, and I said, this is what I said to you that was a lie, and this is what you need to do to cancel your timeshare. From that point, people started referring friends to me to help them cancel a timeshare, and that's how it all started. I fought the world's largest timeshare company in federal court. If I had lost that lawsuit, there would be no one helping people that have been lied to when they bought timeshare. If we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or we'll give your money back. That's what makes us different.
Call Wesley Financial Group now for a free information kit. 800-515-1771. That's 800-515-1771. 800-515-1771.
The Don Crow Show on WAVA. As I said a few minutes ago, you know, sincere and honest people all across the country are genuinely concerned about finding really effective and appropriate ways of responding to the senseless killing of George Floyd at the hands of a Minneapolis policeman, of all things, as well as trying to find a place to put all the illogical destruction of massive amounts of property in our cities. And as part of that, we've intentionally tried to bring guests to this show and to this microphone that I believe as leaders in the African-American community are best suited to speak to some of these issues from a perspective and understanding that I, as a non-black, could never have. And as a case in point right now, I'm very happy to welcome Robert Woodson, Sr. He is the founder and president of the Woodson Center, formerly known as the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise, and also 1776 Unites. And he is a longtime veteran, if you will, of the civil rights activities and efforts in this country, a former civil rights activist. He headed the National Urban League Department of Criminal Justice. and also has been a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Foundation for Public Policy Research, among much more, many other things to his credit. So, Bob, it's an honor to welcome you to the show. Thank you for taking time.
Well, I'm just delighted to be here.
What is your own personal assessment of what happened in Minneapolis to Mr. Floyd and also what has followed across the country? What was your initial reaction, and what is your more reflective and considered reaction in the days that are still settling, the dust that's settling?
Yeah. Well, of course, like everybody in the country, I was outraged to see such an atrocity right there in full public view. And I personally believe in law enforcement, but I believe that people in law enforcement must be held to a higher standard because they have the authority of the state. And I don't think we need to generalize about somehow this man and his actions were representative of policing, and that somehow he is a symbol of police oppressing black Americans. The facts just don't bear that out. And I was appalled at how that people on the left use this situation, as they have others around the country, to inflame the nation and to use it to denigrate the values of this nation. And so that's what's most disappointing, that they did this.
Now, there's a phrase that you're very familiar with. In fact, I think you talked about it with Tucker Carlson, and it's been tossed about a bit. It's not a new phrase. It's been around for a long time, called systemic racism. What is that in your view, and does it exist? And if so, how do we combat it?
I have no idea what systemic racism is. I think the claim is that, and this is how the people use it. They are saying that the present problems facing large segments of black America, 70% out of wedlock births, high unemployment, violent black-on-black crime is an epidemic in that community. And people on the left assign responsibility for those problems as being a result of America's history of slavery and years of Jim Crow, and that somehow the shadow of those problems in our past somehow reflected in the present. But that is just an absolute false claim, because we at the Woodson Center, in our 1776 effort, what we're doing is challenging this bludgeoning of the country's founding principles by claiming America is founded on slavery and we are forever condemned. Slavery was America's birth defect. No one should be defined by their birth defect, but America is defined by its promise. We are the only nation in the world that's ever fought to end slavery. We're the only nation that has Emancipation Proclamation. And so what we have done at 1776 is we have gone back to challenge that misinformation, not with a counter argument, but proving. In other words, we look back in the history of black America during the 1930 to 1940, when we were racism was enshrined in law. We had no political representation. The black marriage rate was higher than any other group in the country. And we had, because of our Christian values, elderly people could walk safely in those communities without fear of being injured. And same, we've closed the education gap during this time of segregation. So obviously, the conditions of slavery or discrimination were major obstacles, but they did not define black America. Up until 1965, until the war on poverty, 85% of all black families had a man and a woman raising children. So this decline that we see now has nothing to do with the slavery or systemic racism. a lot of people who are running these cities, most of the cities where these inequities exist have been run by liberal black Democrats for 50 years. And as long as they can use race as a roost to deflect attention away from the question of why are black students and children and others failing in systems run by their own people.
Well, that's
rather than having to confront that troublesome question, what they do is they say, well, racism is institutional, it's indirect, without having to define what that means. And all it's doing is deflect responsibility away from those who have been managing those cities so that they don't have to give an accounting as to why these failures are occurring on their watch.
Well, that's what I understand from the brief information I got from your conversation with Tucker Carlson, that in fact, and we've already cited, you were a very significant part of the civil rights movement leadership, former head of the National Urban League Department of Criminal Justice. And you yourself, as I understand it, said this was one of the reasons you told Tucker Carlson that you left the civil rights movement as such, because the promises made that if black people could just get in charge of these institutions, quote, all of black America would be better off. And you say that's not how it worked out. And, of course, you've just cited the same history here.
Yeah, because I fought for an opportunity to achieve. But what happened is that from the very beginning, many of those who are low-income blacks who suffered and sacrificed in the struggle did not benefit when the doors are open. A lot of the civil rights leaders became Democratic politicians, and they ran for office at a time when the federal government started its war on poverty, and they have spent $22 trillion over the last 50 years, where 70 cents of every of those dollars went to those serving the poor, and many of these programs were administered in cities run by these politicians. And so that you had a corrupting of the civil rights movement, and many of the civil rights leaders, the civil rights movement morphed into a race grievance industry.
And so
it left its founding virtues. And when Dr. King said that we should be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin, well, once the character measurement became apparent, many chose to be judged by the color of their skin because they couldn't pass the character test.
Wow. Would you comment at this point, if you had the ear of the powers that be, if you will, the decision makers in a city or even at the federal level, what are some things we need to do that can be practical ways of addressing this without polarizing the nation further?
First of all, I think we should be oriented towards solutions that what happens is even conservative administrations, when they're trying to deal with the issue of race, instead of going directly into the communities of low-income people that are directly affected by these policies, what they tend to do is go to the civil rights leaders and try to make peace with them. And as a consequence, they validate these leaders. And what they should do is do what Ronald Reagan did, ignore them, and go directly and to meet with the kind of people that the Woodson Center represents. In 1985, I led a group of 30 black business, neighborhood leaders, professionals, and to meet with the president and his cabinet, and they created a firestorm because Reagan refused to meet with the traditional civil rights leaders, but instead he met with people who were on the ground, and that is what this administration should have been doing and others. Reaching around the gatekeepers and going directly to the people who embrace America's values, people who are establishing businesses, people who are concerned with issues beyond race, but embrace the principles of the free market system instead of the civil rights leaders.
Can folks join you in that effort at Woodson Center and also 1776unites.com and woodsoncenter.org?
Absolutely. We believe since the left is using the race issue as a bludgeon to decimate and create villains out of everybody. We think that the messenger on our side should be led by blacks. It's like the civil rights movement was led by blacks, but it was inclusive of everybody. Well, we believe that by having primarily young black scholars and activists, that it's important for us to demonstrate to other blacks that the values of self-determination, thrift, and moral competence, these are all virtues that are essential for to thrive in life. But it's not enough to present them in white papers. We have activists joining with scholars because people need to see virtue in action. People are motivated to change and improve when they see evidence that these values have the consequence of improving the quality of life. It's what Jesus did when he confronted the doubts of the servants of John the Baptist, when they came to him and said, "Are you the one, or do we seek another?" Jesus didn't pull out his resume. He didn't say, "Wasn't I born on Christmas?" He just healed in their presence and told them to go and tell your master what you saw. Well, that's what we have to do to convince America that the values of this nation are worth defending. We must do it not just in song and in words, but we must demonstrate it in deeds.
Well, let's talk further about this on future visits, my friend, if you're willing. I would love to do that. I thank you so much for the time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Again, that's Bob Woodson, founder and president of the Woodson Center. I suggest that you check their websites out. One is woodsoncenter.org, and the other one, as he referenced briefly, is 1776unites.com. woodsoncenter.org, 1776unites.com.
I'm Jonathan McKee, and you're listening to Plugged In.
He said that wherever I went, he would find me, walk right up to me, and I wouldn't be able to see him.
In The Invisible Man, which is now out on video, Cecilia Cass is a woman who's haunted by an ex she can't seem to escape, literally. You see, everyone thinks that the brilliant, handsome scientist took his own life, but strange events suggest that he's still alive and hunting Cecilia, invisibly. Of course, no one believes her. Fans of H.G. Wells' original story may be disappointed by this R-rated version of it. Harsh profanity and slashing violence pushed this classic thriller solidly into horror movie territory. So we're giving The Invisible Man a 1.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Before you stream or buy, visit PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Jonathan McKee for Focus on the Family's Plugged In.
Alexa can play WAVA-FM and hear us wherever you are on our mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, or radio.com.
With all that's going on right now, the last thing you want to do is add to your stress. But credit card debt does that, doesn't it? Even though these are hard times and credit card debt can add up, you don't have to tackle it alone. Nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Take away this added stress today and be there for your family. If you're ready to pay off credit cards in less time for less money, then pick up the phone and call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
Everyone deserves a good story. That's why Family Fiction is devoted to compiling and celebrating Christian stories of all kinds with a newsletter, digital magazine, and updates. Find it all at familyfiction.com.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
This report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. In the district, traffic is at a crawl as you make your way northbound on DC 295 due to high traffic volume between the 11th Street Bridge and East Capitol Street. Currently, their traffic is stop and go, and this will definitely add additional drive time to your commute, about 10 minutes to be precise. So if you do want to avoid that area altogether and look for an alternative route, be sure to do so. Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your coverage, so you only pay for what you need. I'm Yinka Oh with traffic on WAVA.
Tonight we'll see clear skies with a low of 65. It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow, more humid with a high of 93. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 76. Partly sunny Wednesday, hot and humid, becoming breezy in the afternoon. Caution is advised if you're doing any strenuous outdoor activities. We'll see a high of 93. A shower or thunderstorm Thursday morning, otherwise humid with intervals of clouds and sun, the high 87. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
Von Crow Show on WAVA. Toll-free number to make a gift in our campaign with Save the Children is 888-884-4836. That's 888-884-4836. Online at WAVA.com. Use the keyword children. And there's still about $5,700 of passport money available to double your gift, whatever that gift may be. $50 becomes $100, $500 becomes $1,000, and so forth. 888-884-4836 to feed children right here in the United States during these very difficult times under COVID-19. I've asked a longtime friend, Emmanuel Ogebi, special counsel with Justice for Joss Project, and he's with the U.S. Nigeria Law Group based here in D.C., but also very much involved, even entrenched, if you will, in the sorrows and pain of his own native country of Nigeria. We've talked about that great country a number of times. We need to continue to do that. And I've asked him to talk about that, but also I want his insight as sort of a person from even another culture and country to comment on what he's seeing in this beloved country of America. So as always, Emmanuel, great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, Don, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for having me. And I want to say how thankful I am for your consistent voice over the years. Don, I don't know if you remember this, but I do. In 2003, when Senator Trent Lott made a terrible statement that was racist, you came on your show and you called him loose lips Trent. Do you remember that?
No, I'm sorry. I don't want to. I tell my kids my memory's still impeccable. It's just getting shorter through the years.
Well, I never forgot that. So you have consistently, you know, spoken out, you know, when something was gone wrong. And the last time I was here on the show, I believe we were marking the anniversary of the captivity of Leah.
Yes.
The 14-year-old Christian girl who was abducted by terrorists in Nigeria and kept back because she wouldn't deny Christ. The quick update on that is she's been there now over 2 years, and she, unfortunately, they announced recently that she has had a baby. And so that means that this evil men have raped her, and she has now given birth. But like, you know, you said, Don, my heart goes out to America today, and so I want us to look at the situation here and not just what's going on back in Nigeria.
Well, before we do that, we'll take a break in a moment and come back to your thoughts regarding this country that I know you love greatly and serve as well. But I do want an update as to even more immediate stuff. I have some dear friends. You know the area far better than I ever will, but I have dear pastor friends I'm working with, both in Adamawa State, but also where we've built the hospital, but also even in Kaduna State. I just this weekend in touch with a dear friend and pastor in Kaduna State, and he said he's over the weekend I was texting with him, and he said he and his family and his church are only 40 minutes from the most recent killings that occurred just this last week or so in Kaduna State.
Yep.
So what can you tell us about that so that our people here know how to pray and advocate more informed, more effectively?
Yes, Don, in the last, I want to say in the last 2 weeks since, the Floyd incident happened, there have been almost half a dozen attacks in Nigeria. And so we have had a situation where at last count, about a little over 60 Christians have been killed. Now, Don, the situation is so bad that, I have been sent photographs of little children, babies, with machete cuts to the head, with bullets, that graze them. One of the babies I saw in the photograph was dead. Another survived. So it's really been a very couple of weeks of attacks by the Islamists against Christians in Nigeria.
I know you carry this heavy on your heart. You've written about it. We've talked about it. What is it about this administration under Buhari that just will not, or is it that they will not deal with it, or that they really cannot deal with it, that they're not capable of addressing this and bringing a stop to it? We from a distance watch it and say, well, why aren't they doing something after all these years? And I don't know that you have the answer, but I'm sure you have some thoughts.
Well, the thing is, when we had a Christian president before Buhari, the killings of Christians were so much, it was so bad, that even when General Buhari lost the elections to President Jonathan, his followers went out and killed Christians in over a dozen states. So Christians sort of decided, all right, to stop the killings, let's let this guy have power. Mm. So in 2015, he came to power. Mm-hmm. And the killings have not stopped. And while still, he seems to support a lot of the killings, because these are people who have killed on his behalf before. These are people who are from his tribe, which is a jihadi tribe. And so there clearly seems to be a conflict of interest. For someone who rose to power claiming to be a military general and a war hero, he has failed spectacularly in protecting the people of Nigeria. And it comes from both a lack of will and a lack of honesty in the process.
Does the United States officially, as a country, have any real leverage on Nigeria in that regard? If our government were to, is there anything that our government could do and say to this administration of Buhari that would begin to incentivize them, if you would, to change their ways?
Absolutely. I mean, there was a Nigerian military dictator who imprisoned me in Nigeria 24 years ago this week, actually. And he stole billions from Nigeria. And guess where he stashed them? He put them right here, in banks in the West, including in America.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? In February, this administration sent back to him sent back to the Nigerian government over $300 million.
Wow.
And for the last over a decade, I've been saying to them, folks, this is leverage right here.
Yeah.
And they sent it right back to them.
Kind of what we did with the money we gave back to Iran in the last few years. Well, I know we could spend the whole hour talking about that. Let's take a break, come back, because I know you have heavy on your heart what's happening in our own country, and I think you bring a perspective that is certainly different from mine and others, because you kind of have the advantage of looking from the inside as someone who lives here, loves this country, but also sees it from an outsider's perspective at the same time. Coming back with Emmanuel Ogebi in just a moment.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Solid gains for U.S. stocks to begin the new week, with the market adding to its recent gains and the NASDAQ composite establishing a new closing high for the first time since mid-February. The Dow Jones Industrials jumped 461 points, or 1.7%. The S&P 500 rose 38, and that NASDAQ leaped 110. Make it a sixth straight advance for shares of Boeing, in addition to overall optimism tied to the reopening of the economy and the fact that airlines are starting to see travel demand pick up slightly. Analysts at Seaport Global Securities began coverage of the jet maker with a buy rating. Boeing shares surged 12.25%. U.S. oil prices, though, retreated today as fears about demand lingered. July crude dropped 3.4% to settle at $38.19 a barrel. Spaghetti, anyone? Switzerland's Nestle Group confirmed today that it's selling the North American business of its Buitoni pasta brand. The Wall Street Journal says private equity firm Brinwood Partners will pay Nestle $115 million for Buitoni. That's Your Money Now.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Hear 105.1 FM WAVA wherever you are on our mobile app or on iHeart, TuneIn, and now on radio.com.
Folks, did you know that right here in America, every day, more than 30 million children rely on school for food, eating breakfast or lunch, oftentimes both meals at school. But with schools closed and summer programs shuttered, many families are being hard-pressed to keep their children from going hungry. That's where you and I come in. For more than 100 years, Save the Children has been meeting the needs of children and families all over the world, as well as right here at home, every day and in times of crisis. And right now, with your help, we're making sure that children here in the United States get the nutrition they need until school is back in session. Your gift of $100 will provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 10 out-of-school children for a day. Would you call 888-884-4836 right now? Your one-time gift of just $100 will feed 10 hungry children with Save the Children. That number's 888-884-4836. Or you can give online at WAVA.com, keyword children.
I did this weird thing as a kid. I would fall asleep with my blanket completely over my head, with only my mouth and nose poking out the side. I guess I liked the protection that the blanket offered, while still being a fan of breathing. I think a lot of us are feeling that way today, juggling how to handle the protection that our homes give us with a desire to get out and breathe a little bit. At our Faith and Family Mortgage Team, we don't have the end answer on how to best handle our current world, but we are pretty good at mortgages. If you're thinking of getting out and making that new home purchase you've been dreaming about, our company's Direct Lender Advantage can often get you a lower rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Or, if you decided to hunker down at home a bit longer and want to use that time and some of your home equity to do some sweet home upgrades, our Direct Lender Advantages may help with that too. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
UMC Mortgage Company, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. And refinance. Total refinancing charge may be higher for life of the loan.
The Don Kroah Show on WAVA, talking with Emmanuel Ogebi. He is special counsel with the Justice for Joss Project, U.S.-Nigeria Law Group, but also, of course, very much involved with and concerned about issues here in the United States. He and his family, of course, residents right here in Virginia, along with the rest of us who live this side of the river and others of you across the river as well. We care about this country greatly. And Emmanuel, I wanted to give you a chance to share your thoughts from your perspectives, which, of course, are, as I've already said, different from mine as a Native American. What are some of the things that you have on your heart regarding what's happened and what's even happening now?
Yeah, Don, you know, the first thing I must say is that I firmly believe that America's greatest strength is America's diversity, and America's greatest weakness is America's diversity. I've not seen a country that has the wealth of talent of people from all nations on the earth, you know, combined in this powerful force and dream that is America. And remember, Don, in the Bible, even God himself said when the people are united, like they were building the Tower of Babel, they're unstoppable. And so when we mismanage diversity, it diminishes America. It diminishes the power of unity that we have, that God gave us the opportunity to use. Now, I wanted to really point out that even God himself, in the book of Acts, he worked so strongly to end the ethnic exclusivity of, you know, the people of Israel. You have the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking to Peter and saying, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And so we saw God aggressively going out to make sure that the gospel was opened up to all of us Gentiles. So, Don, with that perspective, it breaks my heart that 24 years ago this week, I was captured by a brutal military dictatorship. I was tortured, imprisoned. I survived and came to safety in America. But a guy goes out to buy a cigarette, and he didn't make it back home. So the irony of that whole situation really breaks my heart. And don't let me say this. Remember that, you know, African Americans were people who were taken from Africa against their will and brought here. So whatever Africa America is today is what America made of it. So don't, what I'm trying to say is there was a huge opportunity to turn these people who came here against their will, you know, to be Christians and to grow and to be successful. But certain things happened that kept them down. And we need, as people of faith, to address this situation so that the tide of democracy raises all of us together, not one segment over the other. So, Don, I know this is controversial, but really, my heart breaks when I see what is happening in America today. It wasn't the Russians and it wasn't the Chinese who did this to us. We did this to us. And I hope that my Christian brethren listening to us today don't think that, you know, we're stoking or inciting anyone. There's a reason why people around the world are unanimously protesting about what they saw. Because we failed in humanity that day. If someone choked the very breath of life that God gave us out of a human being, and we watched it all, it was a crime. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no one who can watch that and come away not knowing that this was wrong and it shouldn't have happened. But some of the excuses that we hear from people who are Christians is very, very disconcerting. How can we say we love Christians who are persecuted abroad if we can't love fellow Americans here who are black? You know, God was very clear when he said to us in the Bible, you can't say that you love God who you've not seen when you don't love your fellow man who is right here next door to you. And so, Don, I think this is a real wake-up call for Christians in America to ask, you know, where did we get it wrong and how can we get it right? I will say something people might consider controversial, but it comes from the right place. There are African Americans today who are Muslims because they can't reconcile the Christian faith with the people who pushed them down, who set dogs on them, who poured water hoses on them, and who imprisoned them. And so for me, coming into this society, it was very interesting, my experience, when African Americans tried to greet me in Islam. And I said, no, I'm a Christian from Africa. They were shocked. They had the impression that the religion in Africa was Islam. And the African Americans who became Muslim because they felt that Christians mistreated them. And so I have to tell him, I said, yeah, there's Islam in Africa, and there's also Christianity, and I made my choice.
Well, I have to interrupt you because I've only got about a minute and a half left, but I want to get your thought. Bob Woodson, who, of course, is a key civil rights leader I just interviewed before you came on, he argues that the real problem for the African-Americans is in part, at least, in the hands of other black leaders who have misused their privileges and their prerogatives once they have gotten in control. And he cites, for example, Eric Holder, U.S. attorney to D.C., and this is quoting Bob Woodson, rather. He said, a lot of young people were shot by the police, but they were black police shooting black kids, and no one was prosecuted. But there was no public outcry as long as illegality or evil wears a black face. Then it escapes detection, and that's what's wrong with looking at life through the prism of race. So it seems to me there's more to this than just what happened so many years ago, but I think there's some, they call them progressive black leaders, I think that's the wrong moniker, who have really had the chance to rectify things on behalf of their people, and they failed to do it. What do you think?
Well, I have to tell you that, you know, there are always multiple competing arguments about this situation. But we can all agree that if it was an Asian, if it was a white person whose life was snuffed out the way it was 2 weeks ago, I would be upset. And you would be upset. Now, one thing I can tell you, many years ago...
30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I would simply say this at this point. We should be glad that what African Americans want is equality and not revenge. That should help us get a perspective on what the situation is.
As always, my friend, good to talk with you. We'll do it again. I'm sorry, the clock is inexorable, as you know.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk soon. Again, Emmanuel Ogebi, and we'll bring you more of what he brings to the table, especially when it comes to what's happening in Africa and Nigeria, but also this insights he has shared right here on the show during this, because it's interesting to me to get a perspective from someone that actually is coming to this country from completely outside, as he has in years past, but certainly very much American now.
Hey, actionhomeservices.com. Did you know I started as an electrical contractor? That kind of gets lost with our plumbing and AC messages. We do everything you'd expect an electrician would do, including indoor and outdoor lighting, service panels and circuits, switches, plugs, and troubleshooting too. Call to add or update your old light fixtures with modern, efficient LED lighting. 703-922-1900. Problem solved.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal, and families are getting out to shops, stores, and restaurants. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Business recovery plans should be ready to go right now. The marketing team at Salem Surround is ready to help, so you don't waste a minute or a dollar recapturing market share. We'll help design your recovery plan, targeting potential customers with proven marketing strategies. With everything in our toolkit working for you, digital, audio, mobile, even audience-engaging contests and promotions. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your digital marketing plan. Learn more at surrounddc.com. Surrounddc.com. Connecting you with new customers.
If you own or run a business that's open and operating, we want to help you get the word out. Go to WAVA.com and click the Shop Local display. Fill out the web form and we'll add you to our business directory. This service is free and part of WAVA's effort to help the local business community succeed. Go to WAVA.com.
Most of our children and grandchildren are finishing this school year online. You can make plans now for a Christian school education for your child or grandchild this fall. And WAVA makes it affordable with our half-priced Christian school tuition opportunity. Simply go to WAVA.com, use the keyword school, or click on the school bus to see the schools offering half-price tuition this fall. We have schools participating in Bowie,
Olney, Laurel, Frederick, Dale City, Fairfax, and Falls Church. Go to WAVA.com, keyword school.
If you're interested in free speech,
this decision is disappointing and troubling.
If you're interested in religious liberty,
they're being incarcerated for one reason only. It's his faith.
If you want your constitutional freedoms protected,
the court clearly overstepped its authority.
Tune in to Jay Sekulow Live.
The court instead rewrote the law, something they do not have the constitutional power to do.
Weekdays at noon on WAVA.
ActionHomeServices.com. Plumbing, electrical, heating, and air. Serving D.C., Maryland, and Virginia daily. 703-922-1900.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM, and HD1 Arlington. Life changing. WAVA.